Excuse me. So, again, we're in the gospel series called Good News, which is the gospel. And what we're doing and going through, and again, and I know you guys hear it, but we are recording this, so if somebody just happens to jump in and catch one of our recordings online, I want them to understand as well. What we're doing is we have multiple scriptures that we're looking at. And it's from basically all four Gospels. At some point we'll get them, but really most of these wind up being Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John kind of is different when he writes in the Gospels. But we're basically Mark chapter 1, Matthew chapter 4, Luke 4, and so forth in there is where they're going to come from. But what we've done is today's message is titled Temptation. Excuse me. And so what we see is that Jesus, after his baptism, when he publicly went forward, which we talked about last week, he publicly went to John and said, I need to be baptized. Now, he didn't, because it was a baptism of salvation, of repentance. Jesus had nothing to repent of, all right? But it was one of those things to step in and to mark the beginning of his earthly ministry and to kind of prepare himself as the priest and everything else. He stepped into baptism, and really it was kind of the lead the way to show us what we were supposed to do. And then immediately following that, what happens is he goes out to be tempted. Now, in the bulletin, it may say Mark 12, verse 1. At some point, I got dyslexia when typing this. It's actually Mark 1, verse 12. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to read it, and it should be up on the screen if you want to follow along, but it's in your bulletin as well. So, immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil took him up and into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you just open our hearts and minds to hear us, to have us hear what it is that you need us to hear this morning. Have me say what you need me to say. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. So we're talking about temptation, and there was a minister that parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city, and because he was short of time and couldn't find a space with a meter. If you've ever been down to down Gainesville, you probably have understood this, or if you ever go to UNF during the day, all right, or not UNF, UF, sorry, I went to Jacksonville, my bad. If you go to UF here during the day, they have like color-coded parking lots, and there's parking lots you can't park in between certain hours, and they don't care that you didn't know that, all right? Because I've had to call the, you know, University Police Department and go, I was at the museum. I had no idea. I thought it was a museum parking lot. And don't worry about it, all right? So it happens. We're there. So he parked in the spot with a meter there, and he says, then he just parked, and he says, he put a note under the windshield wiper and read, I've circled the block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Then he says, forgive our trespasses. When he returned, he found a citation from a police officer along with this note, I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. Very clever police officer. But we are all confronted with temptation at some point in our life. Some form of temptation will come to us somehow, some way. All right, and there's varying degrees of it that which we're going to encounter. And one of the things that we see here is that Jesus was no different. Jesus was put in the situation of being tempted. Now, it always begs the question when I talk about this, was Jesus really tempted? Because the reality is, to be tempted for something, you have to be able to grab hold of what it is that you're tempted with. All right? to say, I'm going to give you all the gold in Fort Knox, Lee, if you'll do it. That's an unattainable. I can't get that. You know, and so there's really no temptation there. To put a cupcake in front of me and say, don't eat that, I'll be back in a minute. No, that's temptation. Because I can grab that cupcake. And trust me, it'll be gone before you come back. Right? So, we know Jesus never sinned. So, it begs that philosophical question, could he have sinned because he was tempted? But we know he didn't sin, or he can't sin because he's God. And see, so it starts messing with the head a little bit, and they're interesting questions. But I think the reality is that one of the reasons he can't sin is because he is God. Anything he does would be perfectly reasonable and logical. Okay? But he's not giving in to what Satan is throwing at him. And the reason being, I think, too, because he is God, he's seen way beyond what he's going to get from any temporary thing that Satan may offer him. All right? He's already seen the whole game board. He's seen everything play out. All right? He is so many moves ahead of where the devil is that there really isn't temptation for him. But in the human side of him, in the flesh, and I think it's important to note that he fasted for 40 days. Has anybody ever done a fast in here? From food? Like nothing, no food at all? For how long? Yeah, I made it from breakfast to lunch one day, but that was about it. All right, that's not my thing. I can fast from, well, maybe TV. I could try that. All right, and I could do an afternoon, maybe a day. I might squeeze a day in, you know, and I would love to be able to, okay? You know, I mean, reality, I could probably fast for winter and be okay for a while. But 40 days of not eating. Now, do you think in his physicality, in his flesh, he was worn down? I mean, Scripture says that at the end of those days, he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. You want to look at Luke and go, well, duh. I mean, that's a given, right? After 40 days of not eating, yeah, of course he was hungry. So we're dealing with God in the flesh. So he put himself in a position to where he was worn down. He was tired. And I think this brings us to our first point today is that temptation often comes when you're at your weakest. Temptation often comes when you're at your weakest. We've been trying to eat healthier and doing the whole 30 thing, and this one hasn't been so bad. The first one was rough. I mean, because I was struggling from, you know, I mean, I'd have beat somebody up for a cup of coffee the first week, you know, of the last one, because the caffeine was rough, you know. And that's when temptation would have been, you know, really easy. You know, the kid wants to go buy Dunkin' Donuts. And they can't drive, so you take them through Dunkin', right? And you're sitting there and you're going, oh, I can smell the donuts. You know? I mean, normally, I've gotten them when I could eat whatever I wanted. It was no big deal. It was just you had donuts or anything like that. I'm like, I smell the blueberries. That's how much my body was like going, I want sugar. You know, I the coffee, I could smell the caffeine. I swear I could. You know, I was like, I need it. You know? And at my weakest, that was a temptation. And I think so often this is what happens to us, is that we've allowed ourselves to be worn down and to be spiritually beat up, that when we're at our weakest is when temptation comes. See, there's something about being at church and joining together in the body of Christ and being with fellow believers that helps strengthen us and build us up. And it's great that we're all here. And the reality is that as we go, if we're missing that, we do become weaker. It's just like going to the gym. It's just like going to exercise and stuff like that. If you can go, you work out for a while at a time, you get stronger and stronger. But then you get away from it for a while. Things become weaker. And that's when trouble comes. That's when Satan wants to step in with the first thing and go, you know what? Here. I mean, think about it. He was hungry. Satan's first temptation was, turn this bread into stone, or turn the stone into bread. That's what I do when I cook. I turn bread into stone. But turn the stones into bread. Could Jesus have done that? Yeah. I mean, he created the universe. It would be nothing for him to go, okay, loaf of bread, and eat. But he saw something deeper there, and he says, you know what? It's not just by bread alone that man lives by. There's something deeper that I'm connected to. And that's something that we always need to remember, is that when we're at our weakest, there's always somebody that's stronger for us, and that's God. The second thing is temptation offers what you think you desire. Temptation offers what you think you desire. Like I said, you could come in with a bag of kale chips and go, here. That is not temptation for me. Kale, by any stretch of the imagination, is not temptation for me. Box of chocolate chip cookies, that's temptation. All right, so the reality is that temptation, it begins to offer us what we think we desire, what we think we want. Okay, and I've said this, and I think back to like my childhood when you're asking for those Christmas presents. I want the pony, I want the bike, I want the BB gun, I want this, I want that. I got socks. I didn't want socks. I didn't ask for socks. I desired these other things. But what happened is those in charge, those that were giving the gift, realized and said, he's going to need socks. And so my desire was outweighed by my actual need in that case. And it took the wisdom of somebody more mature than me, because I would have never asked for socks. But temptation always offers us what we think we desire. It's what we think we want. And more times than not, when you give in to temptation, you realize that's not really what you wanted. Do you think Eve, after eating that apple, went, well, that apple was worth it? I don't think so. After she and Adam were booted out of the garden and separated from God, I'm pretty sure they both went, the apple tasted all right, but it wasn't worth this. Number three, temptation overpromises and underdelivers. Look at what he offers him. And Satan goes, look, he says, taking him up on the high mountain, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Think about this. I mean, he kind of had like this vision of all, everything that was going on at some point in life. Here's all these kingdoms. And Satan says, I can give you this authority because it's been given to me. Was Satan lying at that point? No. Because Adam and Eve, when they sinned, when they yielded over to what Satan asked for, they gave authority over the earth back to Satan. Jesus came and reclaimed it on the cross of Calvary. But in some respects, Satan did have the ability to do this. But could he really give everything he was promising? Not really. And more times than not, what happens in temptation is it always overpromises what it's going to give you. If it didn't, we wouldn't fall into it. If we didn't think it was going to be the best thing ever, the best choice we've ever made, if we didn't think it was going to advance our career past whatever, we would never fall into temptation. If it didn't look good, if it wasn't packaged right, but it always underdelivers. When you give in to temptation, it's always worse than what you thought it was going to be. It may be momentary. You may be like, that was all. And then all of a sudden you're like, no, that wasn't good. I mean, it was one of the hard things coming off a whole 30. I mean, the first thing you want to do after not eating certain foods is, I want to go eat those foods. But that's a mistake. I think of people, and maybe it's because I'm sick right now, but think about it. When you've been sick for days, and you're laying around on the couch, you feel like, you know, death warmed over and everything else, right? And then all of a sudden, that next day comes, and you feel a whole lot better. What's the first thing you want to do? You want to go do everything, right? You want to get up, you want to eat, you want to, you know, so you try to eat all this food, you try to go do this. Oh, I got work I got to go do, I'm going to go do this. Then what happens by the end of that day? How do you feel? Like you wish you had been back in bed. Oh, God, I shouldn't have gotten up that much. I did way too much today. Did way too much. I ate too much. That's a buffet right there. Every buffet over promises, doesn't it? You're like, oh, buffet, that's good. I can eat and eat and eat and eat. And then when you're done, you're like, oh, I hadn't done that. Number four, temptation speaks in partial truth, but not the complete story. We talked about it, especially when you get to the third one. Even the devil said, you know, it is written. He tried to use Jesus' argument with him. Well, the scripture says. Now, how prevalent is that in the world today when you talk to somebody? Are people nowadays quick to throw out Bible verses for you? Yeah. Oh, well, you can't judge me. The Bible says do not judge. No, you're not using that in a proper application. No, no. Boys can love boys. Girls can love girls because the Bible says to love everyone. No, you're missing something. Just like the devil said, well, the Bible said, and Jesus went, you're right, but no, there's a bigger truth to that. It's got to all come in context. Temptation always speaks in partial truth, but you never get the complete story when temptation strikes. You think everything is going along well. Yeah, I'm going to get this. I'm going to be promised that. What did the devil say to Adam and Eve? You're not going to die. God just knows you're going to be like him. What happened to him? Did they die as soon as they ate the apple? No. And I'm sure Adam's sitting there watching Eve eat this, waiting to see if she fell out in the ground dead, and went, wait, he's right. She didn't die. Let me have a bite too. But did they die? Yeah. See, the devil said that you ain't going to do it. What he forgot to say is right now. In other words, if you want to know how this partial truth, not the complete story, applies, listen to anyone in politics. I ain't picking sides, but I'm saying listen to anyone in politics. Well, this, this, and this. Yeah, but you forgot this part. Well, we're going to do this, this, and this. No, that sounds good. How are you going to get all the other people to actually pass that bill? And the reality is, and this brings us to the last point, and here's where knowing this works, is temptation is defeated by knowing and walking in truth. It doesn't matter what you do today, the best thing you could do is equip yourself with knowledge, with wisdom. You talk about politics, the best way to do it is study what's going on. If a politician tells you they're going to pay for everything, this, this, and this, what are they really saying? I'm going to take all your money. I'm going to give it to some. But the reality is the way the government works, you also have to know that it takes this body of people to actually pass a law so you can do that. So just because they say they're going to do it doesn't mean they can actually do it. When if you get your car worked on, it helps to know a little bit about what's going on, right? You know how they, if you take it for the oil change, y'all have the, they always bring you the air filter going, I think you need a new one. They ever do that to you? Yeah. I'm like, I can still see white. Put it back in the truck. It's good. It's dirty. Watch this. Let me see it. Bang it on the side of the building. It's good. Put it back in the truck. Got to be careful, though. Because one of the quickest ways to get yourself in trouble in a place like that, especially like buying a car, oh, yeah, I know all the secrets. I know all the tricks. Why did I pay $10,000 more than I should have? Because you went in there bragging about knowing all the tricks and everything, and you didn't know all the tricks. But knowledge and wisdom is something that helps us to understand this. And when it comes to defeating temptation, knowing and understanding and walking in truth, this is what Jesus did. Every time Satan tempted him, what did he answer with? Scripture. It is written. He took it right out of the Bible and said, no, God says, my Father say, I say, it is written. Here's the reality of what it is. Knowing this helps us with temptation. Knowing the Word of God helps us with temptation. I used to tell the students, if they ever got themselves in one of those situations where, you know, boy and girl, and things were getting a little too serious at that moment, just to take a pause and say, you know what, let's read the Bible and see what God says, or stop and pray. What do you think would happen? Some probably would make a difference, but for others in that moment, that person is not a Christian, may freak out and run away. Or at very least, you're going before God and you're going, hey, help me out here. But every one of these, Jesus said, and he brought forward Scripture, he brought forth the passage. He even defeated the passage with the passage. And like I say, more times than not, as we talk to people today, that's one of the things that we're going to run into. They always throw Bible at us. The enemy, sadly, knows the Bible more than we do most of the time. They know it wrong. They have it twisted. But they're willing to use it and throw it back at us. Now, as we look at the temptation of Jesus, one of the things I think that we need to understand is that I think Jesus was tempted in everything that we'll ever be tempted in. And I think in his humanity, he came and showed and proved that, you know what? You can avoid temptation. You can stand up to being tempted. You can avoid sin by doing this. And I got to thinking about it, and there was basically three temptations that took place. And there may have been more that had gone on during this time that Satan was tempting him. But I think if you put everything into it, really it boils down to one box. Pride. It's what caused Satan to fall. Satan looked at God and says, I can do that. I can be you. I know you created me, but I can be you. It's like that kid that bows up on his dad and wants to push back against his father. I did that one time. Told my dad I'd kick his backside. He told me to get the boxing gloves. I was wrong. He won. But pride is what caused Satan to fall. But I think if you look at these three different things, one, we are always tempted in the physical. Jesus was tempted because of food. There's always those physical temptations that are going to go on. We're concerned about our physical. We allow it to rule us sometimes. Another temptation that falls in here is power. People want power. People want authority. We say we don't, but in some, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a little housewife at home with your kid, you want power. And you use it over your child. You know, it's a good power because you're the parent and you have to. But if you ever had one of those power, those children that pushes back and doesn't listen, don't you wish you had more power? And then the third thing I think we see is that protection. Or if you want to call it safety and comfort. I think physical temptation, power, temptation and protection, all three of those are something that we encounter on a daily basis. And I think Jesus stood up to each and every one of them. And it all goes back to pride. It all goes back to the fact that Jesus humbled himself. One, by coming into flesh. Two, he humbled himself before going into temptation. by being baptized and then fasting for 40 days, he put himself in a very humble position where all he could do would be to rely on God. And get Satan's challenge every time. And I think this is Satan's challenge for us all the time too. He used the words multiple times, if you are the Son of God, do this. Now, did Jesus need to prove he was the Son of God? No, he was going to do that soon enough and often. But I think the devil does that too. You know what? If you're a Christian, if you really love people do that to us all the time. If you really love me, if you really wanted to get ahead in business, if you really wanted to make money, there's always that if in there. If you are, he challenges us right in our pride every time. And what's that saying? Pride goeth before the fall. Humility is the place to be. Humbled before God. Walking in wisdom, walking in truth. Are we ever going to avoid temptation? No. Temptation is always going to be there. It's always going to present itself to you in some way, shape, or form. Like I said, varying degrees. Maybe it's just a little white lie. It's okay. You can tell him he looks like he's lost weight. Maybe the temptation is that it's okay. Go ahead. You want to speak your mind. Tell that person how bad they are. There's so many things. That the devil just works on us. And I tell you, temptation, it was over 40 days. I don't think he came up on day 39 and started tempting Jesus. I think the devil had been throwing stuff out all throughout this trial, all throughout this period. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, that's what it says in the first verse. We see the culmination of everything that he was tempted by. Like I said, I don't think Adam and Eve walked into the garden and Satan went, you should eat that. And they went, oh, okay. I think it took years and years and years, or at least some amount of time, for the devil to work them down. It's just like water dripping. Eventually it will wash away. And if you don't recognize the temptation, if you don't stand before God and say, God, help me stop this, then eventually you can fall. You can fall individually, we can fall as a church by allowing temptation even in here. And again, it doesn't have to be individual. The temptation could be to do things a certain way, to do this, to do that, to not do this. But always remember, temptation is defeated by knowing and walking in the truth of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray that you just help us. God, you lead us. You guide us as we deal with temptation in our lives. God, you've shown us how. You've shown us how we can stand against temptation. Help us to lean into you, God. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. God, I pray if there's anyone here that needs prayer today or make a decision, or God, just whatever it is you're leading them to do, Holy Spirit, you just speak to them this morning. Jesus, thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn to hymn 4.